Thunderstorms as highs hit the mid to upper 90s. This is meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 93 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another day, I guess, full of different topics. We got a number of things we're going to dive into here on the show. Hope you guys are staying cool, man. Another really hot day. Not even just hot. It's really hot. Matter of fact, looking in the corner, you know what's weird? It doesn't say there's a heat advisory today, Reed, even though I'm pretty sure there is. But we are sitting at 93 degrees. So definitely a hot one. But you know what's interesting, man? I feel like back in the day, 93 was like hot, but I feel like there was even hotter days, man. I don't know. Maybe those are coming. Maybe I should just slow my roll and just stop while I'm ahead. But definitely a hot one. Hope you guys are staying cool, hydrated, all that good stuff. We got you covered for the next 2 hours or so here on the show, and we look forward to doing that. A number of things we'll dive into today. One thing that's on my mind, Reed, fresh from last night, is that Mexico soccer game, man. I had my Mexico hat ready to put on, but then I realized I had a lot of sweat build up in there, man. I had just showered and whatnot. So I was like, you know what? I'll probably pass on that. I'll just show my love, you know, through my words and definitely give them a shout out here. But I know you mentioned you caught the first half of that game. I was watching it last night. You talk about a heck of a game, man. And I've seen the reaction on social media because this wasn't just your typical game. I mean, it was, but it was bigger than just another World Cup game. I mean, Mexico is, you know, part of the hosting countries, right? And for them to have that game and to see the display of passion and the energy, not just in the stadium, but outside of it, really all around, wherever, you know, a lot of Mexico fans were watching it. But, Reed, I saw some of the coolest just celebrations. I mean, it was incredible. And I don't know if it's just because it's the World Cup or what, but I think a lot of people that haven't really paid attention to soccer in the past are starting to be put on notice. I know I've seen figures such as Kirk Herbstreit even tweeting about it, saying that he needs to know where to keep up with all these people because, you know, these are national teams, right? All these guys play for clubs all over. Some play for Saudi clubs. Some play in Serie A, La Liga. I mean, it just depends where they're, you know, a member of. But a lot of people really want to keep up with soccer now because of the World Cup and how exciting it's been. And I think with the Americas hosting and people having a little bit more, I guess, of an opportunity to see it up close and personal where these games are being played, it's really kind of brought a lot more excitement to the sport. And I love it, man. Like, again, like last night, there was just something about that game, Reed. Like that first goal scored by Quiñones, who is actually, I think he's born in Colombia, but he plays for Mexico's national team. And I mean, like, he's been the all-star he was the first goal scorer of the World Cup. And then last night he scored the first goal of the game and then also had an assist on the second one. And just seeing, like, the stadium and everybody just erupt when he scored that goal, man, it was insane. Then after the dub, of course, like, the celebrations, I was just watching all these on social media. I'm like, man, that must be sick to be at a location that's celebrating like that. Not even just celebrations going on, Reed. How about this? How about while the celebrations were going on, a dog that had been lost for quite some time, I don't even know how long it had been lost for, I think it was like months, got randomly, was celebrating with the Mexican fans, allegedly. They're hoisting this dog up. It gets caught on TV, and the people that lost the dog, like, they point him out and say, hey, that's our dog. He's literally celebrating at a parade, or not a parade, but just a big celebration, and he got returned home. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I'm going to throw it on the screen here on our stream. Again, you guys know where to find us, but here's the video. You can see it. It's celebrating. Dance a little bit. I think the dog's enjoying it. Maybe he's a little stressed out, but come to find out, this dog had been missing for months. I guess about a month. And he got recognized in the crowd, and now he has been returned to his owner. So kind of crazy stuff. Reed, did you see this news? Wait, let me throw. Oh, you couldn't see that. Hold on, let me throw it up so you can see it and everybody watching the streams. Here's the dog. That's them hoisting the dog up after the dub. So the dog was like celebrating the dub. Again, Mexico defeated Ecuador to move on, I think, to the round of 16. But then this dog is celebrating. I guess he was lost, and now he's found. Did you see this at all, Reed?
I did not know the whole story behind it. I mean, that's amazing. And just really in general, the World Cup is it's a unique way because it's not every year, I think, is another aspect, right? It's every 4 years, and it just brings like a country together, I kind of feel like. And I mean, we've shown right here with, I mean, I believe I saw the dog like you were referencing in like the celebration part, but I did not know the whole story behind it. So, I mean, that's just completely awesome.
Yeah, and the update was, she says, sin querer la encontré, ya está en mi casa, which basically says in English, without even meaning to, I found him. He's already at home. So it's already in my house. So, I mean, that's kind of crazy. So you lost your dog, and then you're just watching celebrations on TV. You just see somebody hoisting your dog up.
Yeah, I can't remember what, like, team it was, but there was another instance before one of the round of 32 games, and I can't remember what team, but someone was missing their wallet, right, in this huge group of people, and then they started chanting the guy's name that was in the wallet and eventually returned the wallet back to him.
Wait. They're chanting his name. They found the wallet and started, they opened up, found
his
ID.
Yeah, they opened it up, they saw his name, and they started chanting his name, and one way or another, I mean, it wasn't like 5 minutes, wow, but after a while, eventually got it back to the owner of the wallet.
I mean, I don't know, that's kind of random to start chanting the guy's name, but I don't know. I mean, I guess it makes sense if you're trying to find
I think it was owner. In the instance, because there was so many people. I mean, it was like loaded in that area.
I mean, I can imagine so. Speaking of being loaded in the area, here's another clip of the celebrations going on. I mean, look at this. I mean, have we seen anything like that? I know the Knicks just celebrated a parade. Matter of fact, I think my uncle was at the parade. And then I remember he was talking about how many people were there. This is more than just like a bunch of people, Reed. I mean, this looks like AI. I mean, look at the fireworks going, like all the people in the street. This is crazy, man. I mean, you would think they just won the Super Bowl, which, I mean, what they just did is a big deal. I mean, I don't know the history of it, but I don't think they've advanced very far in any of these World Cups. And now they're going to the round of 16. I mean, the celebration is alive and well.
Man. I was about to say, Christian, if this is the celebration for the round of 32, what if they win the whole thing?
Oh, my God. Well, probably, I think, you know, this was also Mexico City last night. So, I mean, but to your point, it's up, man. It's up. If they win the whole thing, it's up, which I think, listen, I'm not saying they're going to, because there's some good teams that they'd have to get through. But I think, like, technically speaking, like, I think they can really play with anybody. They play with great intensity. Like, there's a lot they have going for them right now. And then you talk about momentum and that hype and that passion. That goes a long way as well. So who knows what they end up accomplishing. But I don't know. I might need to get me a Quiñones jersey, man. I don't know. I'm feeling that the 16, the green, Mexican green, I might need to get me a Quiñones jersey. But I'm like, he's a stud, man. He's fun to watch. He's fun to watch. I'm not going to lie. That goal he did score last night, I know his teammate was like, because he had an open pass, right? I was like, damn, why has he got to take that shot? I'm like, oh, dang, if he misses this, they're going to be kind of heated. Because I'm like, dude, you just tap that right to your teammate right there. It's probably an easy goal. But, hey, he knew better than we did because he definitely ripped it in the net, and it was fire. So, anyway, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Mexico, man, because, again, shout-out to a bunch of Mexican friends, man. I know they've been keeping up with the World Cup, and it's been cool watching like all the celebrations, all the support, all that. Been really fun. We got the matter of fact, U.S. is playing tonight, right, Reed? You know what time that is?
Yes, that's going to be at 7 p.m. Central.
And who are we playing again?
It is Bosnia and Herzegovina. That's like the whole name of it. Yeah, it's Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Yeah, I'll definitely be tuning into that, man. Team U.S., man, we got to do our thing, man. I don't know if we're going to see a celebration quite like this if we advance, but I don't know. We'll see. I think the passion just is a little bit different when it comes to some of these true, let's just call it spades. But I feel like half the people that are fans right now for Team U.S. are people that don't even keep up with soccer. They're just cheering because it's Team U.S. Like all these fans you're seeing on this video, I mean, they keep up with soccer. It's a big deal in their culture, man. It's like football, like our football for them. So anyway, cool stuff there. A couple other things I was going to bring up before We hit this this first timeout here. We didn't talk about this yesterday. And we probably should save it for when Adam's on here tomorrow. But we got plenty we're going to ask Adam tomorrow. We're going to go to Adam, and we got a number of points that we need to bring up with him and get answers. But did you see, Reed, the latest gambling scandal that's going on in the NBA? Now, I know we briefly mentioned at the end of the show yesterday. Have you seen any of that crap that's going on? Like, what in the world is going on with sports right now when it comes to gambling? Have you seen that?
Christian, I have not, and I'm going to probably blame that due to the fact of free agency has just been blowing up over the past 2 days. But no, I've outside of, you know, you referencing it yesterday, I haven't heard anything of it. Christian, I think you might be muted.
Good call. Sorry about that.
You're good.
The cable sometimes when it gets janky or whatever, anyway, it throws you on mute. I was going to say, don't worry, you're going to hear plenty about it over the next day, definitely tomorrow when we talk about this with Adam. But Malik Beasley, man, who was a longtime NBA vet, I'm sure you've and I know you're an NBA fan, I'm sure you heard of him. Well, he's now been charged with, or in, I should say indicted, in a whole scheme that that's included. These are federal charges here for gambling related to a sports betting scheme, such as point shaving and prop bets. And the government is coordinating a voluntary surrender this week. So this came out on the 29th, so a couple of days ago. But just since we've been talking about all this, listen, Reed, and this is more than just, oh, betting on your team. This was more like he was actively contributing to, you know, things in games to affect, you know what I mean, like the outcome or the numbers, right? And what's crazy was people went back and they looked at old games, and there are some very questionable things this guy was doing. For example, game, like the game's over, time's running out. Dude catches a rebound and like sprints all the way down the court for like an easy lay-in just to kind of cut the difference there. And come to find out, that altered, you know, the spread that was on the game. And then even this other things that people have noted and pointed out, I mean, it's just crazy to me that I don't know how people get involved in this, but if I had to guess, I feel like it's people probably get caught up in some stuff. They probably owe some people, and then that's how they get, I guess, intertwined. Because in my mind, the biggest question I have is it really just greed? Because you can't tell me, again, we talked about the NBA and how much the NBA pays. You can't tell me guys making millions and millions and millions of dollars, right? Because we're talking about he's like a 9-year vet. I mean, so dude's probably made 20, 30, 40 plus million dollars throughout his career. You're telling me you're not good with that? You then have to turn to manipulating the outcomes of games to make even more. To that dude, that is either greed or you're tied up in some mess that you shouldn't be tied up in. I'll never understand that. I just don't, man. Like you got your dream job, you're making all the money in the world, and you find yourself pulling stuff off like this. I'm telling you, the only explanation is you got caught up in something, and people are making you not have a choice but to do this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and Christian, let me also like clarify as well that like this isn't someone that just completely, you know, I guess I use the terms like last minute minutes, right? Like this guy throughout his career for majority of it has been averaging double digit points. So he's contributing practically every game that he's in.
Yep, that's true. And he's played for some good teams too. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's not, he's just not doing anything. I mean, Malik Beasley, man, I think he's almost a 10-year vet in the league. And it wasn't just him. I think there's also another player involved as well as an agent. And if I'm not mistaken, I want to say there's some text messages that even prove this and show that this was in fact happening. It's not so much just like, hey, you know, we're suspecting this. I mean, I think it's pretty much proven. So we'll talk a little bit about that and more. Of course, we'll dive into some Alabama football talk as well as we keep rolling through this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. But first, we got to hit a timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Again, you can always join us on the streams at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, at the Miller's Edge on X. If you guys prefer to watch the show, don't forget that Tide 100.9 app. Download it. It's free. You can listen to all the shows wherever you're at. And we're going to keep on rolling on this Wild Card Wednesday.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Download the Tide 100.9 app today. Score!
back into this Wild Card Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Since we just were talking about this read, I'll just go ahead and just throw out more detail. So it was Malik Beasley and Ed Davis. Those are the two that were indicted in this gambling case recently. And this was from 2 days ago. I believe it was on Monday. And it alleges that this targeted at least four games during the 23-24 season, according to the indictment that was released on Monday. Goes on to say, an indictment is not proof of guilt or evidence. It is merely a charge of probable cause. However, there are text messages I do know for a fact, so that's definitely not going to look too good in their case. According to the indictment, Beasley lost millions of dollars gambling during his nine-year NBA career. He agreed to manipulate his statistics ahead of at least four games during the 23-24 season while he was with the Milwaukee Bucks so that the co-conspirators could wager on the stats. So that's what I thought kind of was happening, and that's at least what I thought probably was going to be the case. You get tied up in a situation, and then you owe somebody, you owe something, and then you end up in a bad spot that you probably don't want to be in. It goes on to say, the indictment included examples of wagers totaling more than $75,000 with net winnings of at least $121,000. He received bribes from co-conspirators, often used to reduce or pay off debts he owed Davis. Prosecutors allege in the indictment the two were teammates in the Minnesota Timberwolves, during the 2021 season. Davis was known in the scheme as Beasley's gatekeeper. Only way you can beat Vegas is sports betting. Davis texted Beasley in December of 2023, we can make some good money. A month later, Beasley informed Davis that he intended to underperform on rebounding in January 26th of 2024, a game between the Bucks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. According to the indictment, the defendants and their co-conspirators placed numerous fraudulent wagers totaling tens of thousands of dollars, conditioned on defendant Mike Beasley's under rebounds prop bets. The indictment alleges that Beasley finished with three rebounds under the betting line of 3.5 at some sports books. Federal prosecutors alleged the scheme also targeted a February 27, 24 game between the Bucks and the Charlotte Hornets, a March 10, 24 game between the Bucks and the Lakers, and the Clippers, and a March 21st game between the Bucks and the Nets. As alleged, Malik Beasley allowed himself to be bought and altered his game time performance to line pockets of Ed Davis and his other co-conspirators. The FBI continues to dismantle fraudulent schemes that erode the integrity of any institution, including our nation's professional sports league. So I won't keep reading that. I think we kind of get the picture there. But Reed, what do you make of that, man? I mean, it definitely was manipulation on his part, right? There's prop bets that he would have over 3.5 rebounds. He elects to go for the under. That way, you know, him and his co-conspirators can bet on it, make money. I mean, I think the moral of the story is, number one, stay away from betting. Stay away from those people, right, where you can find yourself in these situations. Because in my opinion, I don't think, now that I've read it more, I don't think it's just that he was doing it because he just was greedy from the jump. I think it was he was into gambling, found himself in some debt, and this was a way to pay it off. I still don't feel sorry for him because he's the one that put himself in that situation to begin with. What do you make of this news, Reed?
Yeah, Christian. Well, first, like you pointed out, just stay away from gambling. I've never been – I'm not going to say I haven't, right? I mean, I've went out of state and put a few dollars, and, I mean, that was it, right? Like, I cut my losses and, you know, try again for another day kind of thing. But you just got to watch out who you deal with, and kind of circles back around to what we – it feels like we have the same conversation every few weeks or every few months, just to watch who you're around, watch who you make deals with, because then otherwise you could get stuck in sticky situations like this.
100%. And I'm just reading these alleged text messages from them. I mean, and they're literally texting about the whole thing. I mean, I'm sorry, but people just are not smart, man. I mean, in a world where AI and technology and all this thing, everything is traceable, trackable. I mean, and I'm not saying, hey, if you're going to do something, but I'm just like, come on, man. Like, are people just that dumb? That like, you just, I still don't believe.
Yeah, I think it's the aspect of they think that they'll never get caught until they do.
I mean, how do you think you're not going to get caught? You're sitting there texting it like, dude, you can erase a text message on your phone. That does not remove it from. I mean, like, how do people not know these things by now? I just, you can't make this stuff up. But yet another week, another, I guess, situation in sports where guys are getting caught up. And listen, Reed, I don't know if guys will ever learn from these, but I mean, there should be enough examples at this point, man. Stay away from that. You're going to get caught, like you just said. They might think they're not going to get caught, man, but people are watching what you do, especially when you're sending text messages and things are already looking iffy. And if you're surrounding yourself with people that are already in the business of doing stuff, as soon as they get in trouble, guess what happens? They're going to investigate, and then your name's going to pop up, and then you find yourself in a situation that you don't want to be in. Speaking of gambling and all this, before we hit this next timeout, have you seen the latest with Brandon Sorsby and that whole saga?
Yes, I have.
Well, it sounds like it's finally coming to somewhat of a close. Brandon Sorsby, I guess, has settled what was initially some case against the NFL and whatever he had planned on doing. It sounds like there's been some type of an agreement made between Sorsby, his representation, and the NFL. Adam Schefter put out a tweet yesterday, I believe, that reads, a memo was sent today to all NFL teams saying that the NFLPA and Brandon Sorsby will not be pursuing any further litigation regarding his entry into the NFL, and that instead, Sorsby will focus on his preparation for entry into the 2027 NFL draft. Sorsby will be considered a draft-eligible player for the 27 NFL draft and will not be eligible to sign an NFL player contract until the completion of the 2027 NFL draft. It then goes on to release the statement from Sorsby that reads, there's been a lot of news about me out there, and I want to share this statement to make sure things are clear. I accept 100% responsibility for my actions. I did not have any control of my gambling problem, and it took getting caught for me to realize that. But it was truly the best thing that could have happened to me. Because of this, I have been able to get the help I need and fully focus on my recovery. The news about the supplemental draft changes nothing about my recovery journey. I will continue to take it one day at a time, focusing on making myself better throughout this process and making sure to share what I have learned and will continue to learn with others going forward. I am fully committed to being the best version of myself that I can be while getting ready for the 2027 draft. God makes no mistakes, and I look forward to seeing the good that is to come from this. So that was Brandon Sorsby's statement that he put out. I hate to say it like this, Reed, but I almost feel like he waited a little too long to take this route. This should have been the route ahead of, or even if he would have just took this stance immediately after mutually deciding with Texas Tech that he wasn't going to play. The whole bringing litigation to the NFL and all this, I mean, stupid decision either by him or his representation. Now they're kind of walking it back. But at this point, Reed, I feel like it has kind of turned into something where, again, the internet is forever, right? So there's been a lot of damage that's done. I'm not saying it's irreparable, but the reality is next year, when it comes 2027, and he's looking to find himself on an NFL roster, maybe hear his name called, he's got a lot of cleaning up to do. So not only is he going to have to spend this next year preparing physically for his opportunity, but he's probably going to have to answer a lot of questions, right? And he's going to have to go back and explain a lot of this that's gone on, right? I mean, if he would have just left it as he had a gambling problem, he went and got help, tried to fight to play in college, didn't happen. He's going to turn his attention to the NFL. That fell through. He's just grateful for whatever opportunity comes, and he's going to, like, if he would have just handled it like that, I feel like it would have just gone over so much smoother. But now he's kind of turned himself into this whole, I'll be honest, I don't even know how confident I am that people are going to want to, you know, fool with him next year. Because of all this that he, I guess, created over the last couple months or so. What do you make of this before we hit this timeout, Reed?
Yeah, it kind of just seems like this was the last resort. You know, everything else failed, and then he finally put this out. I think if he would have put this out initially, because I love what it says in there, and I mean, if he takes action regarding whether it was his last resort or not, if he does take action in that, I think that is the probably the best way of going about it. But it's the fact that he did that as the last resort rather than initially after everything came out, he should have just immediately done that, right? And it's kind of like you pointed out, like, can you imagine what those NFL, like, let's just say he goes through that whole process next year and all those NFL coaches, GMs, like, just crew in general are asking him questions on this. I mean, it's already a nervous process in general. Like, I can only imagine. But now on top of that, they're going to be probably firing more of those questions than really about your character as a player. I'm hoping it's, like you said, just the bow tie on it and just, you know, he can move forward and prepare for next year. Christian, I think you're muted again.
Hey, that cable again, man.
You're good.
It had been solid for like a year, man. We used to have issues with it. Now it's kind of like a sensitive again. But personally, I don't think he hears his name called in the 2027 NFL draft unless it's like a late round pick and somebody just wants to secure that they get him on their roster, right? I think that's probably the best that he's going to get. A late round selection is so somebody can secure him if they really are that interested in him or think he's that worth it. If not, I can see him signing a contract and get an opportunity. But here's the thing, Reed. One thing I do know is that the NFL moves on quick. And next year's quarterback class, I mean, they got a lot of good quarterbacks, right? So he's going to have to – and it only takes one team. I'm sure there probably will be one team that at least is desperate enough to say, hey, man, he's a good talent. But also understand that that means he's going to be out of football for a whole year. I mean, because the CFL said they're not going to allow a team to sign him. The UFL has already concluded, right? They're not going to be back on until next spring. I guess he could play in the UFL. Well, no, the UFL plays after the NFL draft, I want to say. I can't remember the exact timeline, but I do know the UFL is playing after. I mean, I'm pretty sure. Maybe it's like in between. I don't know. I guess there could be a chance he plays in the UFL just to get some tape, but that's going to be a tough situation, Reed, because he's going to, I mean, he's going to be basing everything off of what he did prior to transferring to Texas Tech. Like, that's the last tape he's probably going to have unless he goes and plays in some league in Mexico or something. Which, I don't know if there's ever been a guy that's gotten drafted based off of that. I mean, I guess we see guys from overseas that get drafted and opportunities that haven't really played. So I guess it's probably falling in line with something like that. But I don't know. Really interesting situation, but that is the latest. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We'll talk some football talk because Pete Nakos put out an interview, or not an interview, I guess. He did interview a number of general managers, agents, and college football personnel. And it gave us a really good inside look, Reed, regarding the status of recruiting this offseason. And in my opinion, I think it answers some questions as to why Alabama may be in the position that they're in. Granted, we've heard from Coach DeBoer. We've heard it from him, and I get it. But I'm saying in the sense of when you hear these numbers and logistics, it really paints a much clearer picture on what the reality of recruiting currently is as we, you know, I guess as the whole reform is looming right now. It hasn't been set. So people are still kind of playing by the old rules. We'll talk about what that article says. We'll read a bunch about it because there's a paywall. So I guess I'll help you guys out there. But always consider subscribing to On3 Bama Online. Really good stuff from those guys on that site. We got
the Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Invite friends and family over to kick off the party. Start celebrating with low prices guaranteed at the Home Depot. Prices may vary by store. Exclusions apply. See homedepot.com/pricematch for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Reed, we got to talk about this article. I know you mentioned it earlier, and I had it bookmarked as soon as I saw it because I knew it was going to be a great talking point, because we've been talking a lot about recruiting. I know I gave my whole spiel like, hey, man, I'm ready to talk some X's and O's. But this isn't so much like rankings and ratings. This was more so a true glimpse at kind of behind the scenes, right? Because there's so many people that talk, Reed, including me, including us here on the show. I mean, everybody just talking. Some people actually talk to people, or some people really are in the know. Other people are just spewing stuff out, right? At the end of the day, Pete Nakos is talking to these people directly, and he's putting it in these articles, man. And they're not directly named, but they're SEC general managers, Big Ten general managers, agents. So they're going to give you the real, right, of exactly what's happening. And there's so much talk about Alabama right now with their recruiting ranking, which has gone up some for those that really are dead set on Alabama having this grand old recruiting ranking. I think we're probably in like the 30s now after the commitment of Ohsani Gayles, really, really quality high school wide receiver out of IMG. But that said, it's kind of eye-opening, even for me, Reed, and I'll be honest with you, man. Like, I don't talk about as much as I know on here just because that's not my place to be talking about this stuff on here. It's all those numbers and info, that's a little private. But when you see it and hear it from like Pete Nakos and other places too, and kind of getting other, I guess, perspectives that kind of match with what people have been telling you, it just kind of is like, man, it's almost like a reminder, like, all right. And it even is more, I guess, staggering than you even, I guess, thought, if that makes sense. So I know we got to catch up on this break. So let's do this. We're going to talk about this article, but first we're going to hit this timeout. When we come back, we'll bring up this article. I'll read plenty from it, but you guys are going to probably be shocked, man. You're going to hear some numbers that are being thrown around in recruiting. And we talk about numbers climbing. I mean, Reed, these things are climbing quick. If these numbers that are thrown around in this article are in fact valid, right, and accurate, it makes sense why Alabama's probably a little bit further down on the list. And when, I guess the best way to put it is, when they say they're not getting into bidding wars, when you hear starting prices for these contracts, you can understand a little bit more why they would elect not to maybe throw out so much money on certain players. So we'll do that when we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Chris Plank from SiriusXM, and Coach Tony Franklin stops by to talk some college football right here on the Wednesday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info
possible, ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more, or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. High and humid to start off July today. There's a heat advisory in effect until 9 p.m. on Thursday. The high today should soar to 98. The heat index may climb as high as 110. Adding the humidity mist, temperatures heat up. There may be some scattered afternoon and evening thunderstorms. Overnight, the low should fall to 77. Another hot day tomorrow with an occasional thunderstorm, the high of 97. And from Friday through the 4th of July weekend, a few isolated afternoon and evening thunderstorms as highs hit the mid to upper 90s. This is meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 94 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Reed, let's talk some football, man. We've been talking plenty about soccer, basketball, everything but football. People are probably, what are you guys doing, man? Hey, don't worry. Dog days of summer, man. We got to talk a little bit about everything, man. That said, all right, here's this article Pete Nakos wrote, and it talks about, I guess, basically an inside look at what they're calling the most expensive June yet in high school football recruiting. Just a reminder, Alabama football has been subject to a lot of, I guess, conversations, right, when it comes to recruiting. We all know a lot of people a little frustrated, a little concerned, just looking at the numbers when it comes to their rankings. I'm trying to pull up their current, I guess, rating or ranking. It doesn't really matter, but I just was curious just for the, I guess, the sake of the argument here. Regardless, they were like in the 50s or the 60s. I want to say they've climbed all the way up to like the 30s. I don't know why it's not coming up. I'm trying to go to On3. Here we go. Here's On3. Alabama currently sits. Oh, wait, that was last year's class. I was like, wait, Alabama's climbed a lot. They are definitely not number six. Alabama currently is 33. They're 33 now, the total of 13 commits. Anyway, speaking of recruiting, this is what Pete Nakos had to say regarding the most expensive June yet. So, I'll just start with this line because I thought this was probably the most eye-opening thing. It feels like $350,000 was the starting price for a low four-star this year, according to an SEC general manager. We've reached the period where everyone has an agent. There are no layups anymore in high school recruiting. Nothing is even reasonably priced. With the critical month of June in the books, On3 surveyed general managers, agents, and NIL collectives to hear how official visits went from the top spenders and top earners to trends and recruits on Flipwatch. Let's see. So, yeah, it goes on to talk about some of the programs like Texas A&M, who currently holds the top recruiting class. Get this, Reed. So we said $350,000, like the floor, like the starting point for a low four-star, right? Currently, as it sits in this after this June period of recruiting. For Texas A&M, who currently has a top-ranked class, according to Rivals, allegedly their class currently is well north of the $10 million mark. Now, we're talking about just this recruiting class. $10 million is what they're valued at, allegedly, which, I mean, this is according to, you know, some quality sources, so I'm sure that's probably in that ballpark. An SEC general manager mentioned that A&M is spending a crap ton, easily $10 million. We're probably anywhere from $5 to $7 million. So you guys can kind of see what's happening here, right? When you look at Alabama and see where they currently rank, which is almost, we were dead last in the SEC. I don't know if we've moved up a spot maybe since Gales. I don't know. But Reed, when you hear Texas A&M, who's number one in the conference and in the country in recruiting at $10 million, this unidentified general manager who is an SEC general manager said, we're around five to seven. Don't know where he's at, but that's a whole heck of a lot of money. And I don't even know where they rank at, but I would imagine they're probably anywhere from the midpoint on up. And then you see Alabama in last, and it makes sense, right? Because we've heard from Coach DeBoer, we've heard from Courtney Morgan that they're not getting into bidding wards. And I think this just kind of proves that, you know, they're not just saying that. That's a real thing, right? And, you know, you can't really blame them when you start hearing these numbers, because $10 million, $5 to $7 million just for a recruiting class. Reed, where is this money coming from? Because you're supposed to have the NIL, or excuse me, the rev share portion of your roster and like third-party deals. I would argue a lot of this stuff is probably money that's promised that might not necessarily come to fruition, because you're supposed to be getting this stuff cleared. And if you're over on the revenue part, it has to come from third-party deals. And if it's not verified or it doesn't get, I guess, approved, I don't know where else they go unless they fall back on the paper bag method in the hotel room. I don't know, Reed, but what do you make of this? To me, I think it explains why Alabama, this class, is definitely a little bit behind, because if the number, in fact, is, I mean, they made it seem like the floor for a lower-rated four-star is $350,000. Alabama has, at least according to On3 in their rankings, I think Alabama currently has 1 5-star and 3 4-stars. So if we go off of that math, and let's just, and to be fair, knowing Alabama, they typically try to get good bargains. A lot of guys choose to play here and are willing to take a little bit less, but let's just go off that number. So 3 would put you at $1.5 million, right? $350,000 times 3 would put you at 1.05. You got a 5-star quarterback. I don't know what he's worth. I mean, let's just say $1 million. That's probably on the high side, to be honest with you. Even though I'm sure he's worth that, other schools will pay him that. But knowing Alabama, they probably got a pretty good bargain. So that's already what, about $2 million. Then you got a number of those 3-stars, like 9 of them. Let's just say they're at, and some of those guys are probably going to be scholarship only. So let's just say those total at a few hundred thousand dollars. That's already like $2 million, but you look at Texas A&M, they're like $10 million. And that's if we really are. Reed, we probably are under $2 million. You know what I mean? Like, reality is probably under that. Do you feel like this answers some of those questions that people might have had? I mean, of course, the coach can say it, the GM can say it, and of course, you should just listen to that and trust that. But when you see others talking about these numbers, I think it just paints a little bit clearer picture. What do you think?
I think it does, Christian. And when I saw, of course, when they said $350,000 for a 4-star, right, I'm thinking, okay, right, like, I mean, that's a great amount of money, don't get me wrong, but they made the specific point that's a low 4-star, and that's just only the starting price, right? And I mean, that is just and you've got to think, like, Texas A&M with I mean, potentially that 10 million range. I mean, there's some schools that their recruiting, A&M's recruiting class alone has collected more than their some schools' entire roster. I mean, that is just unbelievable.
Well, I think, and this just goes to show you why we need caps and why you need regulation more than ever. Because, again, Coach Saban says that everybody has a problem with it. But anybody with a brain can see that, hey, if you don't have regulations, all right, Texas A&M, they're able to spend whatever they want to spend on the roster, on recruiting. And it's not just because, and of course, if somebody from that represents Alabama says this, they're going to say, oh, well, Alabama's last in recruiting right now. They're just mad they can't keep up. Alabama could definitely throw out more money if they wanted to. They're electing not to. But the thing is, I mean, like, dude, like that, like you don't see that in any other league. You don't see that in basketball, baseball, football. Like, you just don't. Now, I will say this, because it also mentioned this, and I think whoever they were interviewing had said this, because Texas A&M has been able to land high-quality recruits and it didn't necessarily translate. I will say this, Reed. They're a team you need to watch out for, because Mike Elko is a really good football coach. I'm buying into whatever he's building over there, just over what he's done the last couple of seasons. He's went out and got some good talent. I told you guys, I watched a couple of the guys I think they had committed. They look to be some really good football players. And if they're continuing on this trend of just stacking up players like this, and if they're able to retain them, which I don't know how that's going to work out. I mean, they clearly have plenty of money, so I don't know why they wouldn't be able to. Man, I'm not going to lie to you, Reed. That's a team you probably need to watch out though, because they've been right there shy of playing in an SEC championship game ever since Mike Elko has stepped foot in College Station. But there's plenty more we're going to discuss on that article and some when we come back at this top of the hour break right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohengrin.
A stunning start to today's round of 32 action in the World Cup between England and DR Congo.
That's in towards Whitta. Could be a problem this for England. There's the shot. It's in. They score. DR Congo lead. And it's smashed in by Brian Sipenga. It's a sensation in Atlanta.
The call on Fox, it remains DR Congo 1, England 0, now in the 41st minute. In the NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers are acquiring center Walker Kessler from the Utah Jazz for two unprotected first-round picks and two first-round pick swaps. The Lakers will be signing Kessler to a four-year, $130 million deal. The Lakers also signing free agent guard Quentin Grimes to a four-year, $60 million contract and free agent guard Colin Sexton to a two-year, $19 million deal.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Aaron Torres, Fox Sports National Analyst. We'll talk to Chris Plank from SiriusXM, and Coach Tony Franklin stops by to talk some college football right here on the Wednesday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on
on the free Tide app.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
9-6-1-1. And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller. It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right, Reed, let's continue with this article we've been talking about from Pete Nakos. Again, he spoke with a number of general managers, agents, personnel, and they're calling this the most expensive June yet. Reason why is, well, allegedly the new floor for a low-rated four-star player currently is around $350,000. So for all those wondering, including myself, like, man, like, you know, shouldn't Alabama be targeting other guys? I mean, I'm sure they probably could or should, but the reality is if they're going to do that, these are the numbers they're going to have to put up. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Reed, knowing the numbers that I know, $350,000 for a low-rated four-star is a lie. Like, and I know numbers have climbed, but, I mean, I knew what guys were getting paid, like, last year, even the year prior. I mean, I don't want to put too many numbers out, but just a few years ago, I know for a fact there is a guy on this team that was probably considered the best guy on this team. This was like years ago. He wasn't even making that. And it's just crazy how things have changed where a guy who was arguably the best player on Alabama's team was making this or less just within 5 years. Kind of crazy to think about now, like a lower rated four star who hasn't played a snap. That's the starting point, Reed. The starting point. So I think it's starting to kind of make a little bit more sense. Will that method end up being the right method? I guess we're just going to have to wait and see, because you got teams like Texas A&M who also, you know, have a good program, right? They've been doing some really good stuff. They've got a really solid culture that they're building over there. And you're seeing what they're investing into it. And I'm sure they're also, I can't remember what they did via the portal. I know they did get guys, for example, like Wilkin Formley. They paid a good bit for him to transfer over there. They paid a good bit for the receiver from last season. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank on him already, man. Isaiah Horton.
Isaiah Horton, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, they went to the portal as well. So this is the only thing I'll say, Reed. Like, I understand Alabama's method in terms of building a culture, retaining your players, establishing continuity, developing those guys. And I think that is definitely the right idea. But it just makes it tough when you're also seeing teams somewhat doing that, but also going all in other areas, meaning like a la Texas A&M. Like, I feel like Texas A&M, I don't know how many guys they lost via the portal, but I do know that they have plenty of money to retain players if they want to retain them. They have plenty of money to address needs via the portal. We just talked about, I mean, two guys from our program, people are going to, you know, have comments about, you know, like Wilkin Formley, but I'm just saying, they wanted an experienced offensive lineman, they went and paid seven figures, right? They wanted a big body wide receiver with experience, a guy that they tried to get the year prior when he transferred from Miami. They circled back. I mean, I know ballpark what he was making here. They clearly paid him more than what he was making here. They paid a lot of money. You get my point? And now you're still seeing on the recruiting trail, they're $10 million deep. So my only thing would be, if there's not any reform to kind of limit this, read, I'm not going to lie to you. I think our method is wise. It's efficient. It's smart in terms, at least financially. But if there isn't anything to really kind of get this under wraps, it's hard not seeing a program like Texas A&M start to really gain ground or surpass programs that try to do it the right way, like Alabama. And I'm not saying that like in a negative way. I'm just being honest. And I know money doesn't buy championships, but I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, if you're going all in this category, going all in on this category, like, it's kind of hard not to at least have some good chance of having success. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I like how the title was specifically named. There's are no layups anymore in high school recruiting. And I mean, that's honestly what it seems like, because they also pointed out earlier about how everyone has agents. And what do agents want? They want to run up their client to get as much money as they can so that the agents could get a certain percentage of it, right? Which then proceeds to run it up. But yeah, I see what you mean. It's there's some teams that, like you said, are trying to financially do it, you know, correctly so they can stay within their wagers. But then there's other teams that, you know, they just have it. So they're going to be like, hey, if there's nothing set in stone, why not use it?
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're seeing with probably Texas A&M. Miami, I feel like, is very similar. Allegedly, Miami, an offensive tackle that Texas A&M ended up landing, he got a seven-figure deal to go to Texas A&M, but allegedly Miami offered him even more to come there. So Miami's one of those teams I feel like also is trying to do that. Now, they lost a lot of guys in the portal. I remember seeing that after that championship game, they lost a lot of guys. So they might not be in the same situation as Alabama when it comes to development. I don't think it's by choice. I mean, but that one's interesting because you got all that money to retain guys. I mean, do players – or why would they elect to leave like that? That would be my biggest question. Is it because Miami's pushing them out and wanting to replace them? I don't know, because a lot of those guys were younger guys that ended up transferring this offseason. So that part, I'm not too sure. But I think for someone like me that I was wondering, like, you know, you got a smaller class. Why not kind of go in on some of these guys? You're starting to see with the numbers being what they are, you really got to like a guy to be willing to invest that. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, for example, you know, if a low four-star is 350, and we're saying he still could probably be around 500K, I'm not gonna lie, I can totally see why our staff is thinking the way they're thinking. I don't think it's worth it either, to be honest with you. At least half the tape that I see on some of these kids, if I was a general manager, it would be hard for me to say, man, come to grips, hey, I got to pay this kid 500K to get him on campus. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even think he's what I'm getting at is I don't think there's many kids in high school recruiting right now that are worth anything near on what they're asking. I get market, but personally, if I was on the staff right now, I'd probably be taking a backseat to a lot of this stuff too. I mean, and we'd have to just see kind of how it turns out, but that's crazy to me, man.
And Christian, they once again have not played a single college down yet.
I mean,
can you just believe that?
No, I can't, because I want to go take me back. I mean, I was a five-star, at least on one site. I was a top 30 recruit nationally on pretty much every site. In pass rush, that's got to be worth something. I mean, I probably would at least been offered seven figures at least, man. I mean, and that's crazy to think about. I could only imagine if I was in that position. These guys are definitely blessed. So I give them that much. But yeah, that's pretty much what the article entailed. There's some other things it talked about in here. Talk about the highest paid players, if you guys are interested in that. It mentioned that, let's see, I'll just go ahead and read it for you guys. One source told On3, the kid we might value at $400,000 is now getting offers to be the $750,000 recruit in another school's recruiting class. Again, I don't know any details on this, but if I had to guess, Reed, maybe a guy, and I shouldn't say names of this. Say a guy that we targeted that ends up committing to a place like Ole Miss. I think this is probably one of those situations, right? And the unfortunate part is, over the years, I feel like we were able to kind of get a little bit of that Bama discount. We probably still get it some if kids really just want to come here. But this is kind of what we've been talking about, man. If you view a guy as a $400,000 guy and you're willing to invest that in him, but then another school comes along and they really want to just land the guy and they just don't care about money, how does a place like Alabama, with the values that we're operating with, how do you succeed in this landscape, in this climate? I'll be honest with you. It's going to be extremely tough. I mean, because I don't care how good of a background these kids come from, man. I mean, you hear how my dad talks. I mean, like, I wish my son would turn down 750. And he's supposed to, he's a preacher man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to turn that stuff down, man. So let's look at these highest paid players on here. Five-star David Gabriel Georges. He's down to Ohio State in Tennessee. Expected to be the first $1 million running back recruit. He's set to announce his commitment at the end of July. So, I mean, like, $1 million for a running back, Reed? $1 million for a running back? Dude, you're honestly better off. If you're a top recruit, you're honestly better. I mean, stay in college as long as possible. The NFL don't even value running backs like that, man. You're throwing around seven figures to a running back? Listen, that's crazy. He's expected to be in the $1 million range, shy of $2 million. It will be a multi-year deal. That's something the family has talked about. The family is very clear that it wants a multi-year deal. So they have a roadmap for his entire career. I mean, just hear, like, listen to the language, man. I mean, like, and I'm not knocking the families because, listen, it's part of it. Get it while you can, man. I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, this is just so crazy to me when you're just hearing all these specific details with this stuff.
Yeah.
And how it's changed.
And I was going to say, Christian, a guy that I remember we talked about right there, yep, that cornerback, John Meredith, the number two recruit in the 27 class. I mean, that was a guy that we were down. Now, of course, we were kind of out of contention, but we were down to his final three. And it says he's also expected to make north of $1 million in year one in Austin.
Ultimately could sign a two-year deal, but yeah, expected to make north of $1 million. So, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. If you're Alabama, if you're not willing to throw that around, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how moving forward you're really going to be able to compete consistently. Now, granted, I'm sure if there's guys they really like or when they kind of open the wallet back up to high school recruiting like they did the past couple of years, but I would argue we were able to sign guys because they really like this staff, they really like the culture here, probably for – not probably, I know for a fact. We signed guys for less than they would have made if they went other places. So I'll be honest with you. All this that we're reading, Reed, I think one thing that it tells me is it's – even more important now than ever to solidify yourself as, you know what I mean? Like that culture, the continuity that you have and ultimately success, because that's somewhat what Alabama has had to their advantage, right? That they've been able to sell kids on that. Like, hey, come play here. You know, all the kids that end up signing with Alabama, they always talk about the atmosphere, the culture, this and that. You got to maintain those things the best of your ability because money, obviously, you're going to be at a disadvantage if you're not putting that up. So hopefully you can maintain those relationships like we've been able to do. But I'll be honest, man, I think the further along we get without these rules, man, it don't look too good in terms of the future, in terms of being able to continuously recruit as high as we did if you're not going to be matching this stuff. Because these numbers we're seeing, I don't see Alabama willing to pay that. I just don't.
And Christian, we can't blame, like you pointed out, we can't blame these athletes for taking it. Because, I mean, if you, right, like recruit-wise, coming out and someone's throwing seven figures around, I mean, dude, it's
can't
like.
Can't blame them.
Yeah, you can't. You really can't.
No, I mean, dude, you're a high school kid and you're being offered over $1 million, sometimes $2-3 million to go play a couple years. I don't care if you grew up the biggest Alabama fan and that's the only dream you've ever had. If Alabama was offering you $500K and another school offered you $2 million, like, come on, man. Like, I don't know anybody that would turn that down. I don't know. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll keep talking about this. We'll go to the phone lines. We got Smitty on there, 205-342-9904. We'll keep discussing this and more right here on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-Law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud what does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more available now, let us exceed your expectations at Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Mercedes of Tuscaloosa.com. Mercedes of Tuscaloosa.com.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Hot and humid to start off July today. There's a heat advisory in effect until 9 p.m. on Thursday. The high today should soar to 98. The heat index may climb as high as 110, adding the humidity. As temperatures heat up, there may be some scattered afternoon and evening thunderstorms. Overnight, the low should fall to 77. Another hot day tomorrow with an occasional thunderstorm and a high of 97. And from Friday through the 4th of July weekend, a few isolated afternoon and evening thunderstorms as highs hit the mid to upper 90s. This is meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 98 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship. Home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking about the madness of June being the most expensive, I guess, June ever when it comes to high school recruiting. So for people wanting answers to maybe why Alabama is not recruiting as many high caliber players, I think when you see these numbers, I think Reed can attest, probably explain some, right? When you're focused on retaining your roster, these numbers make a little bit more sense. You start going in on, so let's say you even had 13 guys, but they're averaging $600K a piece. That's a whole hell of a lot of money. That's a whole hell of a lot of money when you're still thinking about the guys you currently have. So I think it just puts things into perspective a little bit. 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
It's good, man. How's everything?
Hey, I'm doing better than Malik Beasley right now.
What is it? Listen, Smitty, I mean, is this just a case of he got tied up with the wrong people, then owed some money? I mean, like, what are we doing here, man?
They said that his finances were in the toilet, not just gambling, blowing money on, like, expensive cribs, items, baby mamas. You know, that's the one that gets a lot of these guys. And, you know, yeah. And you know, because that was one play. Some of those videos where they catch him throwing games, some of them were funny. Like, there was one, there was like down like nine. The spread was 7.5, 5 seconds ago. He sprinted his butt off to get a layup to bring it down to 7. That right there made him hot in the streets. I don't care what anybody says.
Wait, I saw that, but did you think, you didn't think anything of it at the time, did you? Like, do you think people saw him sprint and do that and maybe in their mind said, man, that was kind of weird, because I got it pulled up right here. The spread was 8.5.
Yep.
And then, it was 118 to 110. He is on the Timberwolves, who are losing by 9 now after that shot or that free throw, whatever it was. I wasn't paying attention. Sprints down and literally with 0.4 seconds to go scores to cut that. I mean, do you think anybody at the time thought that was weird? I mean, it clearly makes sense now.
Everybody thought that was weird because people were joking around. He must got something on his parlay, because usually with that, he'll dribble the ball out because the game is over. And, and the thing is, what people don't understand, you can never prevent this stuff. All you can do is punish. But the legalized sports betting has actually helped clean this stuff up. Because once you sign up for DraftKings, for example, you got to give your banking information and your social. And, like, they have bet limits. They have, like, deposit limits, withdrawal limits, how many times you could do it. In certain sports, if you bet a lot of money, that raises a red flag, or even certain prop bets at the time. Because Malik Beasley was a bench player. So why are you betting big money on him? Now, if you bet big money on the Nikola Jokic prop bets, you understand. But, like, a bench player, that sets that stuff off. And it shows. Now, I tell people, don't get caught up in this, because they will lock you up. And when the feds get you, it's over. And I think that this should be a lesson, because the money he was playing on his gambling stuff was nowhere near what he was making per year in the NBA. So pretty much, he hopped over a 20 to pick up a $5 bill. And now he's going to be fighting people for Twix and Honey Buns now in prison.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what the time is that he's looking at, if he is, in fact, found guilty? I didn't get that far in it.
I don't think they got that far, but if I'm him, I'm working with the feds to get as least time as possible. But he's going to do time. Mm. And plus, he was a great three-point shooter, so he would have had a job in the league. So he just blew all that, you know. And that's why I say life's about choices. And he made a bad choice. But one thing you talk about, this NIL stuff, right? When you put these numbers out there, first things first, what people are willing to pay some folks in the portal, it's not even if they're that good. It's positional value. Look at the NFL. Kirk Cousins keep getting checks, and he is all right. You know, it's positional value a lot of times that drive these rates. Because Isaiah Horton, big as all get out, but couldn't block to save his life. He got a bag for A&M. God bless him. But like Wilkin Forby, he had his spot taken by a true freshman who was playing guard his whole life. God bless him if A&M want to give him $1 million. If they willing to pay him for that, fine. But the problem is, it's like, if they put five for five is already in. If they put in a one-time transfer, like you were saying before, they may actually suppress the market on that, because I'm going to give this guy $700,000 who hasn't even taken a snap, when I can give a guy on the portal that much money and we actually see him do good things. That is something, because just the NFL had this issue. Tell me, your dad was in, a rookie would get paid more than a veteran who made Pro Bowls because of that stuff. They had to put that in. And when people talk about bringing players to the table, Christian, let me fill them in on something. Veteran players in college football and basketball, the other sports, would be in favor of a rookie cap, because veteran football players, I use football for example, would be kind of ticked off if a freshman who hasn't taken a snap is getting more money than them who put in that work in the program. And just natural. I know you would have felt that way. You waited 3 years to play, and Saban brought in a freshman who's making more money than you, who hasn't even taken a snap or even gone through the fourth quarter program.
Yeah. No, 100%. Well, that's why I just reading this, it's just crazy to me, Smitty. But I think it does. It offers, I guess, a clearer picture on the philosophy that the staff is aiming for. I mean, I can't say it's going to work 100% because we just mentioned teams like Texas A&M. They don't care about any of that. Their philosophy clearly is get the best players available, whether that's high school recruiting, whether that's retaining, or whether that's the transfer portal. They're going to throw money into all those phases. And unfortunately, if you're Alabama and you're playing the efficient game, you're going to be at a disadvantage. That's just a fact. So the good news is, I mean, I don't think there's like a, you know, tell-all, meaning that just means anybody that plays that by that game means they're going to be better than most, but you got a better chance at it. So we'll just have to see how it all works out. But that's why we need this thing to pass through, to start limiting some of that, because that'll help kind of bring it back down to reality. Because right now, and the numbers I'm reading, I mean, that's just $1 million for a running back, man, or up to $2 million for a kid that hadn't even played a snap. I mean, that is crazy, man. That's crazy. There's no way these numbers are going to go through. There's no way.
And you know what? Derrick Henry's the best running back I've ever seen to play Alabama, right? He wasn't ready his first year on campus, you know? And he was one of the best ever. Because running back, that people don't realize, that's a tough position to adjust. We just saw that with A.K. Deere last year. He didn't even know some of the plays or blocking scheme, stuff like that. Because in high school, they just hand you the ball and tell you to run. So that right there shows me, is that, hey, I can't pay $1 million+ for a running back. I'm sorry. We could find running backs. We could find receivers. Even offensive defensive linemen. Those guys still got to get adjusted to the college game. And those only special outliers who come in and dominate year one. Because no coach wants to throw a true freshman out there on the offensive line. None of them do. It's just because you may have to. But I just believe, like, if you do just 5 for 5, like the 5 for 5 and limit to the portal, that will actually, like, you know, cap off some of that money. And before folks panic also, Christian, these are all one-year deals for the most part also.
Well, now, so, I don't know if you saw this in that article, Smitty, but it sounds like people are starting to work towards multi-year deals.
Yeah.
And I think for a number of reasons, one example listed in the article mentioned the player's family wanted to have, you know, structure and, I guess, you know, some type of plan for multiple years, which I think is smart on their part, I guess, unless you're thinking you could just hit the bank and then quote-unquote free agency via the portal. But now with this new one-time transfer rule, that's probably better on their end. But the other reason I think is probably smarter for the schools too, because then you don't have to worry about paying a guy 7 figures for his freshman year just for another school to poach in the following year. So, I mean, I think we're starting to see some of these multi-year deals be, I guess, you know, included here, which kind of makes sense given all the money that's being thrown around.
And you know what else? For example, right, they probably have language in these contracts for buyouts. If the school try to push you out, you got to pay the kid, or the kid wants to bounce anyway, because Brandon Sorsby, for example, had an issue with Cincinnati because Cincinnati wanted money back, or like Duke had to get money back from Miami because Mensa signed the contract to come back, but he hit the portal. So Miami had to square Duke away. And I think that right there could go a long way as well. But see, I think also it kind of hurting the NFL in a way, because a lot of the kids ain't worried about the NFL. They see NIL money. And you got kids retiring super early now. They all good. And I think the NFL, instead of trying to take everything from college football, might want to work with them and help them get some of this under control, because we all want players to get money. We all want players to not be stuck. Because I remember if you wanted to transfer back in the day, the coach could say, yeah, he can't transfer to an SEC school. I never liked that. But I do think that these kids should not be going 3 or 4 schools in 4 years. Because how do you graduate? Because all your credits don't transfer. How do you get in development? Because imagine getting an offensive lineman who's been in 3 schools in 3 years. He hasn't developed because he's in 3 different systems. Now, if you got somebody who's been in one and came to another one, that's fine. But you got to get what I'm saying, because when you play, look at how the continuity was of your squad. It was a different era. But you guys played with each other. You guys had an unspoken language and everything. And also you guys had that culture where you guys been there, where you had it passed down to you, and you passed it down to the younger guys. And I think that stuff could get back to it. Also, it also gives coaches some power, you know, because you ain't got to worry about a guy bouncing in December or knocking on your door like Isaiah Bond did before the Rose Bowl want more money.
Those are some things.
And I think that's something that, but I'll say this real quick. People talk about throwing money around, all these flashy transfers. Our three past national champions, Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana, have veteran teams who worked together for a couple years. Yeah, Ohio State brought in Caleb Downs. But a lot of those guys foregone the NFL to go back to college that year. So they had a lot of guys who were in the program. Because if folks are worried about the Alabama approach, Georgia is taking the exact same approach. But because Kirby won two national titles in the SEC last year, no one complains or questions it. So you're going to have, because there have been schools like Texas who walked away from KJ Green. Texas has a bottomless pit of money. So every school has a limit on a player. And I just think that I like the way they're doing it because a lot of fans complain whenever a player hits the portal after a year. But those same people can't complain if someone's trying to have continuity as well. And that, you can't have it both ways, because I say this, not going, Christian. Thanks for taking my call as always. If Alabama brought in 25 kids this cycle, you got to get rid of some people. And how does that translate well to people's families and recruiting? You know? And I think that is because we don't know why some kids transfer. Some schools may say, hey, man, we don't have a spot. We'll help you find a place. Or it could be the player who hadn't even played, say they want a pay raise, and the coach said, hey, well, good luck to you next stop. We don't know why some of these people transfer. And I just, like, I always go back to that Cohen kid, Javion Cohen, who won a Nick Saban to pay for his girlfriend's law school, and I would love to have been a fly on the wall at that meeting. You know, but you already know how that would have gone.
Absolutely. That would have been bad.
But I'll leave it with that, though, man. Keep up the great work as always, but I'm glad that article came out to show fans what it entails, because, like you said, that pay is starting salary. That is starting. And so now fans may get an idea what these coaches having to deal with. And in my opinion, I'd rather pay that money for a portal guy. But you have a good one, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. I appreciate that. And I agree. I mean, if you're talking about filling a hole and needing something to address, yeah, I think going to the portal and putting up a few $100,000, maybe a little bit more, I think that's probably a little bit more ideal, because you know exactly what you're getting out of that guy. So as long as we take that approach during portal season, I think it definitely will end up probably working out just fine. We got a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Wednesday.
Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Drive a new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, priced at $54,529.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Chris Plank from SiriusXM, and Coach Tony Franklin stops by to talk some college football right here on the Wednesday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. I was going to read this last paragraph real quick before we go back to the phone lines, because I thought this was interesting, Reed. It was just talking about kind of the philosophy, I guess, with the recruiting right now. And it says, some of the most popular trends that programs have seen in June have been the rise of paying to shut down official visit schedules. So basically, instead of letting our guys, you know, keep taking their visits, Reed, we're going to pay you some money just to say, hey, not taking any more visits. I'm committed. I'm calling it, I guess, a recruitment, at least in terms of the official visits. It says, the money does a lot of work. I'm taking one official visit. I really like the school. The money's pretty good, and I don't want to lose it. And it's always been a tactic to pay a premium to get an answer. But now we just had some guys flying off the board. Another source told On3 that they believe how top recruits line up official visits in the future will change. With players holding so much leverage early in the process, for years, schools often jockeyed to get the final official visit to be able to make the last pitch to the recruit and their family. That likely changes moving forward. See, when Smitty used to always talk about getting that first visit, I get his point now. Before, I was like, man, it's always been you want the last visit. You want that final impression. But the whole point about getting the first visit is what they're saying here. They're now being encouraged and almost pressured to shut things down ASAP after taking even just that first visit. It says something we'll take into account in the future is just how important that first week of OVs really is because of the leverage. We're going to see that the first week of visits at schools are going to be so much more coveted next year. Some schools are pulled back their spending this year because of how much they spend in the 2026 class. This is what I wanted to read. This sounds kind of like Alabama and maybe their philosophy. It says, look at what Ohio State's doing in us. There's a reason it's only around 15 to 18 commits, a Big Ten general manager said. That's probably what it's going to stay at. We got to because we got too many good ones. So we're trying to keep them all and just keep hitting on the right ones. People are going to stop caring about how many you got. It's going to be about quality. Now, that's the only difference there because I guess the question mark, like myself and a lot of other people had, was, I mean, if you're taking less, you still probably could aim to get some higher quality. But again, everybody's philosophy is different. An SEC general manager shared a similar sentiment, doubling down on how taking an elite quarterback recruit every year in and year out is close to impossible. I don't think you can chase a top 10 quarterback every year. It doesn't make business sense. That leads me to question, Reed. Well, Alabama's, I guess, going against the grain, and they're kind of proving, number one, it is possible. Does it make business sense? Personally, I don't think it's the most ideal thing. Just my opinion. I don't think you need to put that much money into two top quarterbacks in almost every class or every cycle. But again, they probably know something that I don't. And last but not least, it says programs are still dealing with wild requests from top recruits. Requests include private travel deals, suites during games. Paying for recruits to take unofficial visits this spring was another popular ask, but programs dealt with similar asks just to get players on campus to work out in June. It says, I've easily spent probably just this June, anywhere from $50,000 to $70,000 on workouts, an SEC general manager said. Anywhere from trying to get a plane ticket to our commits coming back up every weekend, needing a hotel room, gas money, plane tickets, it doesn't stop. So you guys can kind of see this whole circus, man. Hopefully there's some change that comes up, because, I mean, if not, they're going to keep saying, hey, donate to Alabama. Hey, we got to pay for workouts. We got to pay for this. We got to pay for a suite. I mean, it just, the spending never ends. 205-342-9904. We'll take a quick call before we hit this break. We got Pat coming up next. Pat, welcome in.
Good morning. Good afternoon now. Ma'am, tell me something about what's going on with this, the legislature at a deal, because I talked to a Red Elephant Club buddy of mine, and he said that they've got some information that this thing is supposed to be where it's going to help out a tremendous amount on structuring how people can be paid and what the penalties are going to be for varying from the parameters. Because unless there's penalties such as a coach having to get blackballed for a year or without pay, and you're having to players losing a year of eligibility. Something's got to give to make it to where that we can't have a bag man down at Auburn and not have a bag man in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and you're talking about, I just want to be clear, you're talking about like the Protect College Sports Act that they're trying to pass, yeah. Ted Cruz and Cantwell. Yeah. I mean, hopefully if all goes well, I mean, you had the one-time transfer included. There's caps on things, what people can be paid.
Five years to play four.
I think it's five to play five, which I think would allow you pretty much to play for all 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. Which is a huge benefit for these players. I mean, I think pretty much everything in the bill so far seems to, again, we have to see how it ends up being executed. But, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, as long as the penalties are severe enough and they're enforced, I think that would help get people to, you know, comply. But at the end of the day, we also know, yeah, it used to not be legal to pay people behind closed doors, and that still was happening. So I guess there always is that risk.
Yeah. Did you have your credits needed to graduate in three or close to it?
I graduated in 3.5 years because, we take summer classes over the summer while we're here. So it took me 3.5 years.
Okay. All right. That Ty graduated early. And with what you have available at Alabama, usually it's because if you don't graduate in 5 years, it's because you're lazy or a little bit lazy. But a lot of these kids, I'm a thorough believer in right brain, left brain. I've got my grandson in Taekwondo karate. I take him 4 days a week. That's all that he has available at this point. But those kids that are good in athletics aren't necessarily good in books. Kids getting books aren't necessarily good in athletics. And you want to balance right brain, left brain. I'm a thorough believer in that. And I don't know what you think about it, but a lot of these kids, these super athletes that have never been taught how to study, don't know what to do. And I mean, there's a process at Alabama that, hey, you can ask for help. You're going to get help if you ask for it, or if it's available. And all the tools are there to help you graduate in a 4 to 5 year period of time.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Right. I mean, I know for us, I mean, we had all the resources in the world. We had a mandatory tutoring that we had to take in the evenings. And, typically, I mean, as long as you just kind of applied all the resources they gave you and applied yourself in the classroom and did all the work, you pretty much had to intentionally fail, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think nowadays they have a lot, and it's not just Alabama, all these schools should have academic advisors, staff and people in place to help you as much as possible. So yeah, I mean, I think that's all important in terms of like the credits and stuff. I'm not an expert on all that, but I just know Here, they do a really good job. Shout out to Miss Molly and company over there in the academic department. They're awesome. They're the same people pretty much still work over there that were here when I was here, and they do a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But like I said, I'm in high hopes that this legislature, stuff that they're working on, that this is going to be what's needed to get some guide rails on things, because guide rails is where nobody's on the same sheet of music at all at this point in time. Now, I talked about a phrase, I called it the beast from the east and the wild, wild west. And that's the way the SEC was or is. And it's got to get a hold on it somewhere, because we cannot compete with Ole Miss in Texas. You can't do it. It's impossible.
No, I was going to say, man, we were talking so much about Texas A&M. It's I don't know how anybody really keeps up with that, when you can go kind of all out in all phases. So, yeah, I agree. Hopefully something comes from it. We'll see. It seems like they got some good momentum, so hopefully that continues. Yeah, we appreciate you, man. Bye. Good to hear from you.
Have a blessed day, sir.
Yes, sir. You too.
Hey, Daddy, I hope you don't mind the barbecue.
He said, hope he doesn't mind it?
No, he doesn't burn his barbecue.
A lot of people burn
the barbecue low and slow on the heat.
Oh, yeah. No, he's pretty good when he came down here and grilled last time. So hopefully he's got that figured out. I'll tell him, though, Pat. We appreciate you, man.
Have a blessed one.
You too. Good stuff. We got to hit the timeout. We come back. We wrap things up. We got one more phone call. We'll take
$5,000. Great atmosphere. Outstanding customer service. Where they do that at? Bama Entertainment, where the odds are always in your favor. Take exit 45 off 2059, sponsored by Red.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Chris Plank from SiriusXM, and Coach Tony Franklin stops by to talk some college football right here on the Wednesday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. High and humid to start off July today. There's a heat advisory in effect until 9 p.m. on Thursday. The high today should soar to 98. The heat index may climb as high as 110. Adding the humidity and temperatures heat up, there may be some scattered afternoon and evening thunderstorms. Overnight, the low should fall to 77. Another hot day tomorrow with an occasional thunderstorm and a high of 97. And from Friday through the 4th of July weekend, a few isolated afternoon and evening thunderstorms as highs hit the mid to upper 90s. This is meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 99 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
back on this Wednesday edition. We got one more phone call to take. We got Stephen from Raleigh. We'll see. Let's see if Stephen's still there. You with us, Stephen?
Yeah, Roll Tide, Christian. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good, Stephen. How are you?
Good. Beautiful day in North Carolina. It's funny that what Pat said about the smoker is I got my rec tech going low and slow with a Austin butt on there right now.
Hey, that sounds good, man. Y'all need to send some low with.
Good. So, you know, your caller before Pat mentioned Georgia and their plan, and it's obviously Georgia, Alabama, and a few others have the same plan or a similar plan. Mm-hmm. Not a single team that has been the number one spender the last 3 years has won a national championship, Christian. You know, Alabama has devoted money toward retention, and people also forget you have 105-man rosters now. And at some point, a part of your roster has to be a developmental phase of your roster that you can know you can keep, and you have to trust your scouting. You have to trust your scouting and your development of those type of players.
Right.
And, you know, the people in the know that Alabama is top 7 or 8. Everywhere I see is they're about number 7 or 8 in spending in all of college football. But yet you hear this narrative that Alabama can't compete. No, Christian, Alabama has chosen a path of retention and development, and you need every phase of that for a 105-man roster. You need, right. I mean, they've had number one and number two, number six, whatever it is, top five recruiting classes the last 3 years. You know, Texas A&M in 22 got accused by Nick Saban of buying that their way to number one. And they had 8 5-stars, Christian, 7 of them transferred. They had 30 signees. They had 30 signees from high school, and 22 of them transferred out of 30. And they bought that class. Buying is not the only way. Buying your way to the top didn't win that at Texas A&M anything. Not a single thing. It didn't win Texas last year or whoever was the top spender. Last time I checked, A&M hasn't won even a SEC championship in how many years?
No, but they've been close. I will say this: I do think they're. I will say I think you know the example that you gave when they had Jimbo is a little bit different. I think the culture that they're establishing under Elko is a lot different, and I think they're in a much better spot. And the trajectory is a little bit higher currently. But I will say this: you're not wrong, and I think that's all true. But I do think there's also a little bit of balance you can find. I think Alabama probably could, like you mentioned, we've got money to spend. You probably could spend a little bit more on maybe a little bit higher caliber guy here and there. And I get taking some classes off. But again, you just got to wait and see. The good news is you got the portal to fall back on. And so if they're able to be more aggressive when the portal opens up, if there are true needs, because I thought we were a little bit conservative in that aspect this past offseason, I think we can be in good shape. But we'll just have to see kind of how things kind of shift as we roll. Steven, I hate to do this, but we got to go because we're out of time.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You so much for calling. Good to hear you, brother.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good to hear from you, too.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition. Don't forget about our friends over at lamprello-law.com. Check them out for all your representation needs, whether it's academic misconduct, NIL cases, plus all those services like subject matter mastery, exam, test taking preparation, all that good stuff, academic career planning, all that right there at lamprello-law.com. That's Lamprello Law. The official representation right here on the Miller's Edge. We'll be joined by Adam tomorrow, so tune in for that right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Y'all have a great rest of y'all's day, and we'll see you guys then.